This is the Gadget Flow Podcast, the show about everything related to products, entrepreneurship, marketing, and crowdfunding. And this week, we have an awesome interview with George Manley. And George has helped countless massive brands, like some of the biggest brands on the planet, succeed in the world of dropshipping, retail, and sales. So we had a great conversation full of useful information about the journey of becoming an entrepreneur. So without further ado, here is my interview with George Manley. George, thank you so much for joining us on the Gadget Flow Podcast, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. We're excited to have you on. I have a few questions for you today. And first, I like to do a little bit of an introduction, maybe for our audience who doesn't know or who don't know who you are or what it is you do. Would you mind just giving a little bit of background into who you are?
Yeah. So I was, going back to college, I actually studied journalism at the University of Maryland, graduated from their College of Journalism in 2000. And after a couple of quick stints in journalism, working at ABC News in Washington, D.C. with 2020, and then I worked with WTOP, which is the all-news radio station in Washington, D.C., I made my way to New York. And in New York, I initially was hoping to hook up with Katie Couric and become a page for NBC, which is a sort of their leadership training program. And found out it only makes $10 an hour and realized you can't live in New York City doing that. So I made my way into sales. And as soon as I got into sales, I was in working actually for a company called Cintas. It's a great company. Actually, at the time, they were the fifth largest apparel manufacturer in the United States. Most people don't realize that, but they're a uniform company. So they do cruise lines and carnival cruise lines is one of the companies, but they do cruise lines and hotels. They do, Las Vegas casinos, Atlantic City casinos. They do restaurants, you know, chefware, just about every uniform you can think of. And so I worked for them for 5 years. Really got an understanding of apparel manufacturing, loved it, was the top salesperson in that company for 3 of the 5 years I was there within the division I was in. And then I ended up saying, all right, if I like to sell clothes, why don't I start selling something that I'm really excited about? And so I started applying to fashion jobs, and I ended up being an executive in the fashion industry in New York for about 11 years. And I ran Brooks Brothers wholesale sales. I ran the sales for a bridal couturier called Priscilla of Boston. I was a consultant to the menswear industry for many years. I ended up running the Chelsea Markets retail concourse floor and all of their sample sales and all the fun stuff that goes on there in Chelsea. And that led me to my current gig, which is working for Rev Cascade, which is an online marketplace and platform for essentially linking up brands and retailers and allowing them to automate their drop shipping experience.
Yeah, man, that's a lot of stuff. It's a big background, a big portfolio of work, man. That's really, really cool. So, So right now your primary focus is Rev Cascade, correct?
Yeah, I also own with my fiance a company called Buckheimer NYC, which is a leather goods brand. And we're growing that slowly. We bought it and developed it 2 years ago. And we've got some great retailers that are buying those bags. We make all of our men's products in New Jersey, actually, and our women's stuff in Italy. And we're slowly building that business. Caitlin's running those businesses. As I focus on Rev Cascade and Solar, which is the direct-to-consumer.com side of Rev Cascade. And then the last piece of what we have, which is like many other people, we have a real estate investment. We've got a VR, you know, an Airbnb and VRBO property.
Nice. Cool, man. Yeah, I was checking out that site earlier, and the leather goods are beautiful. Super high quality. They look awesome. So we'll make sure to include that link in the show notes for people to check out. Cause I was very impressed by that site, checking it. So maybe for people who don't know, I mean, drop shipping is kind of, it's a little bit of like a buzzword right now in the people trying to become entrepreneurs and all that stuff. But for a lot of people still don't know what it is. Could you describe drop shipping briefly?
Yeah. So drop shipping in a nutshell is, any direct to consumer retailer, typically it's their .com arm, is interested in selling, as many goods as they can. And, most stores only have so much real estate or square footage, so to speak. And, they can only fit so many things in their store. So, well, it's the same thing with their .com side as well. Really, the e-commerce side of many retailers' business is really just another store for them, and they have a warehouse where they store that product. And sometimes they're omni-channel, where they'll pull product from their stores to fill e-commerce orders. But in all of that, the story is the same. They only have so much square footage, whether it's their warehouse or their stores. They only have so much open to buy with which to purchase products to fill those two places. And so drop shipping came about. It was primarily pioneered by Amazon. It's about 60% of their overall business. It's 100% of what Wayfair does. It's 100% of what Farfetch does. Drop shipping is listing products on your .com that you don't actually own or take into your own warehouse. They're shipping right from the manufacturer's warehouse. So you're listing them on your website for sale, but when it sells on your website, it's being delivered by the brand directly out of their warehouse. And typically the brands will take a little bit more of the sale than they otherwise would when you were buying it in a wholesale environment.
Right. So drop shipping, I mean, I've dabbled a little bit myself in it, and it can be a real win-win for both, because you're not having to, have a warehouse with all this stuff in it. If you're selling, like you pretty much just need to focus on the marketing and selling of the goods. And you're not worried about the inventory and the actual housing of the product, where you're going to put all of it. You don't have boxes lining up in your house, that kind of thing, which is really, really nice. So yeah, man, I mean, I know you definitely seem to have like an entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, it looks like you started and been a part of a ton of companies and things throughout the years. And I would love to hear your thoughts and maybe some tips that you would teach your younger self about entrepreneurship when you were getting started. Like, what would you teach your younger self now if you could?
To be honest with you, I would repeat a lot of the same mistakes and successes that I had. It was sort of throwing my head against the wall and working hard and taking some risk that allowed me to get to where I am. And by no means am I where I ultimately hope to be. I do feel much more informed and comfortable as an entrepreneur who's got to sort of get up every day and make his paycheck. I don't have an inbound salary from really any of the companies that I'm working with. And that's always been motivator for being in sales. You've got to earn your paycheck, but you also can earn as much as you work, or as much as you succeed, I should say, at that work. It's less, I think, what I would tell my younger self, and more just what I would say in general about being an entrepreneur and what I've found that's been successful for me is just going at it, is just, considering every opportunity and every conversation a chance to, move your concept or your product or your company forward. And you never know who's going to be able to help you. You never know who's going to teach you some new lesson in your business or in the development of your company. And so I keep that, sort of message in the back of my head every day. I'm polite to everyone. I consider everybody a customer. I consider everybody an investor. And, I'm always working to get my message out there and improve my message.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You said that you took risks and you're happy with the risks you took. Is there one that stands out to you that kind of changed the game?
Absolutely. The one that is on the tip of my tongue right now, I mean, I've got a lot of big ones. The one that I really want to talk about right this second is what I did last year. So literally a year ago, I was running around with Trailcross, which is the sales agency that I've owned for the last 7 years. And it was sort of always my LLC that sat on the side as I consulted for other people. I would take money into that LLC. That's where I would bring, the initial sales of some of the goods that we were selling, because we didn't know if the concept would take off that deserved, setting up a separate entity with licensing and all that that goes with it, collecting sales tax, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of work in the initial setup of a new business. Last year, I was running around as a consultant selling a couple of brands, working on 100% commission. And basically, everything I sold, I got a piece of that sale. And in running around and selling to retailers like Nordstrom and Cabela's and Neiman Marcus and Saks and Bloomingdale's, I kept hearing the word dropship. They would say, yeah, great, we'll buy, you know, these four or five pieces, but then can you dropship the rest of the line? And I would say, I think so. Let me find out. And I'd go back to the brands and I'd ask them. And sure enough, a lot of them really weren't set up for it or they didn't know much about it. And so it got me thinking, you know, if I'm going to survive in the retail world, right, whether it's fashion or outdoor goods or other things that I've sold in the past, I've got to get on the e-commerce side of what's going on because it's the fastest growing form of retail in the world. And I've specifically got to learn more about dropship because all these retailers keep asking me about it. So I eventually, through calling a lot of people and finding out who I know that knows people that are either working within e-commerce or want to work within e-commerce and know a lot about it, I met Josh Wexler, who is the CEO of RevCascade and Solar.com. And I essentially pushed my way into his life. I think he would literally describe it as that. I told him I have a set of retailers that are very large that want to deal in a more significant way in the dropship world. And I have relationships there and I could essentially introduce your product to them and make us both money. And at first he was skeptical. He's a startup, so he really didn't have the money to pay me. And so I worked for him for free for six of the last 12 months and essentially, you know, proved my worth. And I'm now on a full package with him and I'm an investor in the company. And I'm, you know, I've brought other investors to him who have invested. And I really feel that I'm an integral piece of what's going on there now. I mean, we're a small team. We're only 12 people, but it's really exciting. And I think what we have going on is amazing. And the team, particularly Josh, they're some of the greatest people I've ever worked for.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's an awesome story. Are there any like resources like for people, you know, are there any books about dropshipping or good blogs or, you know, do you guys provide anything like that? Or do you know of anything good that people could, you know, how to research it well to learn more about it?
Well, dropship in particular is talked about, you know, almost every day, in somewhere out in the world of what's going on. And, and, you know, WWD, which is the trade publication for the fashion industry, talks about it a lot. They, you know, they had a full spread on the .com side of retail within fashion today in their publication. And, you know, it's really the question for so many people, including a lot of the retailers that I've been working with is how do we make dropship successful for us? How do we figure out a way to add more SKUs to our .com without adding a ton of overhead by trying to figure out how to make dropship work with our existing systems? Because a lot of retailers out there today, one of the reasons why they can't jump into the next generation of how people are buying things is because their systems are outdated and they have major investments in a lot of like point of sale software and ERP software and, you know, their e-commerce platforms might be outdated and don't necessarily, work well with API link ups or whatever it might be. So, it's a lot easier for, for, you know, young startup brands to initiate a connection to dropship than it is for a lot of these bigger, more traditional brick and mortar retailers, because the easiest way to connect to dropship, especially with Rev Cascade and Solar, is to open a Shopify store, you know, because they're already pre-built to make it work. So I don't know of any like general references to dropship out there. Rev Cascade does have a press page, or I should say a blog page that lists articles that are, interesting, about the dropship community. But I would just tell people to Google it and learn as much as they can. And really, for that matter, any subject they're interested in, just become a master of your own destiny by learning as much as you can about it.
Yeah, that's true, man. It is kind of all in our hands these days. We can learn as much as we want. And so that is our own. We can control our own destiny a lot more than maybe we think we can. That's very, very cool. So a couple like quicker questions for you. What is the worst advice you have been given or have heard being given to young entrepreneurs recently or in general?
Don't quit your day job.
Yes, I resonate with that big time.
Yeah,
could you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, I think that, and actually it was most recently told to my fiance, who's a brilliant salesperson and a brilliant person in general. And she recently quit a job that she had been working at for 7 years. And she was very successful there. She was one of their top salespeople and made a lot of money. And it was a hard, you know, it's hard to walk away from, you know, a comfortable job, no matter, you know, really what the circumstances are, but she had a, you know, a six-figure package, and, you know, it's also hard to walk away from, you know, income that you're happy receiving. And she got a lot of advice from mostly older people, that, you know, are used to the economy that we had sort of 30 years ago, where, you know, you work for the same or maybe a couple of companies throughout your career and you build up a retirement and then you begin living your life and actually doing the things you want to do creatively, you know, when you're 65. And you don't do it until then, because if you do quit your job up until that point, you're taking a major risk that might leave you homeless on the streets. And I don't believe that's true. First of all, it's not true in this day and age, because there's so much opportunity out there if you go and find it. But I don't even know that it was true then. I think you have to have the ability to take some risk in order to try anything entrepreneurial. And you know, the first step is just quitting that day job and getting out there and you know, raising money or running around and learning more about your craft so you can create a business plan, or, you know, going to work for somebody who's a potential competitor in that industry so you can learn from the inside out.
That's good, man. That's really good. What would you say maybe one of or a couple of the greatest challenges that come with starting a successful business?
It's definitely wearing multiple hats. You know, as an entrepreneur, you're almost always wearing more than one hat. You're not just the executor and the CEO who's like, you know, dishing out commands, and then there's a team of people that go out and make that thing, those things happen. You're both the executor, you're the manager, you know, doing the hiring and firing and the coaching and training and motivating. You're the bookkeeper, you're the salesperson, you're the operations person, you're the, you know, in some days you're the cleaning person. You know, I mean, you've got to just be willing to, you know, do anything, you know, whether it's change a light bulb or, you know, pick up the trash in the office because the new client's coming in, or make the big pitch. And, you know, so it's wearing many hats and realizing that, you know, you probably have certain skills that are strong within those realms of roles. And you obviously want to ultimately make your position within that new company you're creating focused on your strengths. And so build an audience or a team around you that's really strong at the things that you're not good at, and give them the freedom and the leeway and the trust to go make that part of your business successful for you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man. I think, honestly, I've worked in organizations and seen companies, and it seems like the ones that truly thrive are ones that are, they're just aware of their weaknesses, and then they empower, like truly empower other people to be really good at the things that they're not good at. And it's kind of like letting people run with their gifts or with their talents in the areas where you're weak. That's how you make a really thriving, great company. At least that's what I've observed. So I totally resonate with that. So last question I have for you, man, is what is the biggest piece of advice? Just any advice you could give someone, you know, a 18, 19-year-old kid looking to start his first business, trying to become an entrepreneur. What is a piece of advice you would give them?
Well, if they're 18 or 19, my advice would be a little different than it would to someone who is maybe a specialist in an industry they've been working in for a while, and they realize that they've got a better idea than what's currently out there, and they want to jump ship and go start their own company.
Well, let's hear both. I think both.
All right, to the 18 and the 19-year-old, I would say, learn the way it's done today for a few years before you try and create or develop your idea. It's so much easier to raise money and to hire a team and to convince people that your idea is brilliant if you've got some background and you've got some experience and you've got a resume that points to you doing that successfully as it's set up today. Everybody, especially young people, thinks they know a lot more than, you know, the next guy. But the reality is there's a lot to learn in every industry, and there's probably ideas similar to yours already bubbling up through the existing companies in that industry. They may not be showing their head to the consumer yet, but they might be in development. So by you seeking out those businesses and applying and learning a little bit more about, you know, what your potential customers or competitors, excuse me, are doing in the industry and hopefully working there for a few years, you'll get a better idea of whether your idea is truly revolutionary or not. And then to the older person, the more tenured person that maybe already has that experience on their books, I would say go for it. You know, don't let fear of jumping ship or taking a risk stop you from developing your idea. And as Josh Wexler, who I mentioned before, the CEO at RevCascade, once said to me, when you have a new idea, you've got to believe in it so much, almost to the point of like being insane.
Yeah.
You have to literally like wake up every day and just, you know, believe in it so much that you're willing to tell anybody who steps in front of you that it's the greatest thing they've ever heard about. And you've got to have that level of ambition around your idea to initially get it off the ground and begin building, the pieces that you need to make a well-constructed and successful company.
Man, that is so good. I couldn't agree more, man. I think, your greatest asset. I don't know who it was. Gary V or one of those guys recently, I heard him say, like, your greatest asset is being so obsessed with your thing that you're going to wake up excited to do it every morning. Like that's what's going to push you really, really far in whatever you choose to do.
Absolutely. That's a good point. You have to be motivated and enjoy what you're doing. You can't just think it's a good idea. You've got to literally want to see it through to the consumer loving it as well. And you just got to get up every day and want to get up every day and fight for it.
Absolutely. George, thank you so much for your time, man. Where can people find you? Where can they connect with you online?
The easiest way is my LinkedIn page.
Okay.
And I'm happy to share that URL with you so you can attach it to this to this recording. But they can also go to solar.com, which is our direct-to-consumer website. and I'm the head of sales for that business, and they can find me through inquiring about solar.
Okay.
And those are probably the two best ways for today. I have a blog as well called Manly's Mission. It was a manlysmission.com. It was a blog about the menswear industry. I'm going to start hopefully writing on it again soon. I haven't touched it in years, but most of my social media, including Instagram, is based around either my Manly's Mission blog or Buckheimer NYC, our leather goods business.
Right. That makes sense. Cool, man. Well, we'll include all that in the show notes for people to connect with you and the projects you're working on. So, man, I really appreciate your time. And I think you provided a lot of valuable insight and a lot of good stuff for entrepreneurs and people who are just wanting to make cool stuff. So I appreciate your time, George.
Thanks, Alex. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
That was our interview with George Manly. And as you heard, he has a ton of incredible stuff going on. So please go check out the links in the show notes today and make sure to follow everything he's up to. This podcast is made by Gadget Flow, and we are proud to be the number one platform to find new and awesome gadgets. So make sure to keep checking back at our site for all the new products we're curating every single day. We'll be back next week with a new episode, but in the meantime, please go rate and review our show in iTunes. Thank you so much for listening to the Gadget Flow Podcast.